This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
All right, we've got an actual jingle.
Okay. Audio.
Vision Quest.
You're on after this.
Oh, well.
Hello there.
Hello.
Is that I've been taken off guard there. Welcome to Rich and Andy's Audio Vision Quest on FUBAR Radio. Wow, that was a great start.
Should we just do the normal jingle? Right?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Rich and Andy's Audio Vision Quest on FUBAR Radio.
Right, that's more professional.
Yeah, well, my one's better.
So, well, I don't know.
Let's hear mine again.
Go on then.
Audio
Vision Quest.
I don't know. It seems a little bit less professional.
It's got more to it.
What? How it's got a couple of bongos?
It's got more action. There's a woman talking. There's like some.
Yeah, but the other guy.
There's an elephant in it and there's some bongos.
No way. The other
monkey.
I think FUBAR paid good money for the other one, so don't be dissing it.
All right, well, mine's got more animals in it. That's a.
Well, then, you know. Why?
What?
We haven't got any animals in the show.
I know, but cause it's the Audio Vision Quest, isn't it? You know, like going off into the jungle. I think carried away the jungle.
A vision quest, by the way, is when you get like Jim Morrison did. You go off and pump yourself full of drugs and hopefully come back more enlightened, which is why we sort of named the show Audio Vision Quest, because we want you to be more enlightened. But you won't be, will they?
Why?
Well, I'd, we'd never...
We're talking about some enlightening stuff.
Really?
Yeah. We've got Dick Baby coming up.
Yep. Enlightening topics such as Dick Baby, the game where you send us in a picture of your baby and its first name, and we'll just sort of assess whether it's a dick or not. And then 20 years later, in 20 years' time, we'll keep your email us back in, let us know how he's getting on.
Yeah.
You know, if he's a dick, then, you know, we win.
Exactly. You know, sometimes you get a baby, it just looks a bit snide.
Yeah, you get some snide babies looking at
you. Yeah, we're just going to judge it on that, basically.
Well, we've actually got a celebrity special today because, for some reason, people are unwilling to send us in photos of their babies for us to, you know, sort of judge and condemn them.
Yeah, we've not had many entrants, have we?
No, Andy's hat just fell off. He looked really cool then.
It's because I've got the best big load of headphones. Well, a gigantic set of headphones and then my hat on top.
Yeah, Andy's so trying to jam his fedora over his headphones. Just give up with that.
I'm going to give up.
There we go.
Okay.
So coming up on the show, we've also got Stalking Kurt Russell, which is the game show. Well, a game show. I've completely made that up. It's the section. Yeah, it's bigging it up a little bit, isn't it? The game show where, the section where we are going to try and get hold of our childhood hero, Kurt Russell, and get him down on the show one day. And it's our mission to get him. Today, we're going to be talking to a lad in America, in the United States, who played hockey with Kurt's son, Wyatt.
Exactly, yeah.
That is a proper mole in the ground, that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not calling you a mole, whatever your name is, Adam. Before we get you Adam. But no, he's not called Adam, is he?
It was Adam Wyatt or something.
No, Wyatt's Kurt's son.
What's his name then, this guy?
Andy, you've confused. I don't know what this guy's name is. We'll find out later on.
Okay.
We also are chatting to Donna Rockwell, a psychologist who studied, a very clever woman. She studied fame and the effects of it on the brain, and basically, you know, we're sort of on our way to the top, aren't we?
Yeah.
There's no question about
pretty
that.
Slowly.
Very slowly. I reckon by the time we're 75, we're going to be...
we'll
be just outside the cinema queuing up for the premieres.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's going to be telling us about the sort of psychological effects of being famous. Because it looks cool, but it must be a nightmare.
Yeah, but I don't think any bit of it looks cool to me.
What about the bit where you get to stomp out in sunglasses at night time?
You look pretentious.
No, you look cool.
I don't see any benefit of it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
What about all the free stuff you get? You put an Instagram out saying, oh, I love this Vita Coco. You get like a billion boxes of it.
But then once stuff's free, it loses its value, doesn't it? It's like when you were a kid, right? You had like Reebok pumps or something. Like, oh my God, they're amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you had the loads of money to get them, I've seen like rich kids with loads of money and they don't care about any of the stuff.
They're not happy, are they?
No.
Yeah, it's weird that. But it's weird, that thing with, I know what you mean, that thing with trainers, if apparently, because I had a pair of Reebok pumps.
Yeah, I did, but mine were too small.
Really? Mine were too big.
Oh, were they? That's weird. Because they were in the sale, and they're women's ones as well. They're in the sale, and like, I really want them. So I like, mum, please. And she's like, all right, they're about 30 quid, really cheap. Otherwise,
why?
I wouldn't have got them. Because they were in the sale, and they were women's ones.
Wow.
So I crammed my feet into them, didn't fit, and then I spent the rest of the year like hobbling about.
But looking awesome.
Yeah, yeah. But then also, loads of kids just try and like over pump them to blow them up, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. You get people trying to stab your Hexalite.
Yeah, so I had to fend all those kids off. It's a bit stressful.
Evil kids like Chris DeRee at my high school. That's not defamation of character either. He did that once. also threatened a bus driver with a toffee hammer.
Oh, that guy.
That guy, it's the same guy. I found him on Facebook the other day.
Wow, did you talk
nasty,
to him about?
Nasty piece of work. Oh, yeah. We've also got Eric Lampert, comedian, dropping in to chat about his Comedian Cinema Club, which will be going on tomorrow.
Cool.
And we've got the game IMD Bollocks, where Andy goes on to Internet Movie Database and picks off... Well, explain.
Well, basically, what I do is... I'm going to give you five facts, or maybe four, because I couldn't be bothered to think of a fifth one.
Yep.
And then, basically, one of them is true, but the rest are IMD bollocks.
Okay.
And then the person... I don't know who we're going to do it on, but the person we do it on is have to guess.
Okay, fine. Okay, fine. So, yeah, all that coming up. What a fantastic show. Sorry, Andy, I forgot to mention... Does my... breath
what?
Smell weird today, my breath.
I can't, you're about 2 metres away from me.
But basically, this morning I woke up at someone's house where I don't live and I didn't have a toothbrush and I had to brush my teeth with an earbud. Each one individually. It took ages. I had to like jam it down the side.
Really?
I'm not sure if you could sort of throw.
I'll tell you what happened to me, like, well, actually it was a while ago, but I was meant to, I never told you.
Go on.
Basically, like, I tried to brush my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what the flat was.
Right.
I tried to brush my teeth. Brush my teeth with steroid cream.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So did you get massive horrible. Big buff gums? But
yeah, exactly. So I thought I was going to get buff gums.
Weird, we've got Eric Lampert coming on here. He's got buff gums.
Don't say that. No,
he knows that. That's his thing.
That. Okay.
That's his thing. Yeah.
I thought you were just slagging him off.
No. He loves it. He loves it. He's made a fortune out of those gums.
Yeah.
Do you know what? When I was a kid, actually, I used to really. Were you the same as me? I don't know why. I had a massive resistance to brushing my teeth. I don't know why, like, to the point where, like, rather than brush my teeth, I would just go, literally, my mum would, like, go and listen up at the wall of the bathroom, and I'd just brush the wall.
What?
Just brush the wall, instead of, like, saying, I'm doing it!
What? But hang on, that's a completely different noise to brushing a wall to brushing someone's teeth.
Well, she had hair maybe flopping over her ears, she couldn't hear properly,
but... know straight away.
Is that not a weird thing to do? Why did I just brush the teeth? I, like, really wanted to win, like, why are you making... I felt like, oppressed.
Also, you should notice that the wall was really clean.
Yeah, there was a little clean section of wall,
clean,
yeah.
Little round clean patch.
Right, why is your breath stinking and why is the wall really clean? Well, I have no idea. What are you talking about? So, yeah, we've got that coming up. We've slightly gone off topic. Andy, what? Who are we? You guys don't know who we are because are we infamous?
No, we're not infamous.
Are we non-famous?
Infamous when you rape someone.
Oh, no. So that's just you. What am I?
What? I don't know.
I'm joking. But what are we just? We're nobodies.
We're just normals, aren't we?
We're just normals. Normalcies. Well,
what are we talking about? Can we just... This is bullshit.
Sorry. Okay, so basically, what we've done is, we want you to know, you know, what kind of guys we are. So, Andy was going to explain...
What?
Why, well, you're going to chat about animals, aren't you?
Yeah, no, but I wasn't sure we were going to do that bit. All right, yeah, sure, all right. Well, basically, I thought maybe we could introduce each other, because it's radio, isn't it? So you don't know what we look like.
Yep.
Or you don't know what our personalities are.
Well, I do. I know what
I... Well, yeah, but they don't, not us.
No, but the thing is, go on.
Why have you derailed this?
Sorry, Karen. I thought you were going to, like, say what animal I was.
No, I'm introducing that bit. That bit's coming in a second.
Fine.
All right,
fine.
So basically, I just thought that there maybe there's more simple ways to explain each other through animals.
Okay, so get a visual idea.
Idea, and also animals got personalities and stuff, specific ones.
What's it called? What's that word called? Anthropomorphizes?
That's, well pronounced.
Anthropomorphizes, what is it? What's the word? When you make something into an animal?
I don't know. I don't know what that word is.
For God's sakes,
anthropomorphize.
You've got a GCSE, I haven't.
I haven't got one, I've got loads of them.
How many have you got?
I've got, I don't know, like, I'll count them in the song, all right?
The
next song.
What, in the break?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Interesting, wasn't it, for the listener? All right, right.
Are you going to tell me what animal I am?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I only know what animal I am, because I get told all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? What, did someone...
A lion. Basically, I got a call the other day from a guy I hadn't spoken to for about 4 or 5 years, and I'm not going to lie to you, he said, just watch the documentary on lions, and everyone in the room was saying, oh my god, that looks like Rich.
You sure it wasn't
King of the Pack?
Are you sure it wasn't a documentary about flies?
No, why would it be that? No,
because that's
it was lions.
Because that's what animal you most resemble.
How?
Well,
I'm
right.
Huge.
For a start, you used to eat a bag of sugar a day.
Yeah? Oh, yeah, you said that like there's something wrong with that. Daily Thompson.
Well, that's insane.
It's a lot of sugar, I'll give you that, but I wasn't fully sane at the time, was I?
No, but this is your excuse as well. I think you'd said it, actually, but your excuse was, I was like, oh, why are you eating a bag of sugar? And you're like, oh, it's all right, Daily Thompson does it.
I'm sure that I read that somewhere.
That was just a lie.
It was either that or he eats a lot of bananas.
Right. You've got to be careful eating too many bananas, because my mate went to the hospital.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Got potassium poisoning.
From eating too many bananas?
Yeah, she ate 9.
Why?
Just to get stomach pumped.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's bad, isn't it?
Well,
but yeah, anyway, look, so basically, yeah, just like, it's more your personality above than you look, to be fair.
Right. Well, that's, hang on, that's not good, is it?
What?
You got the personality of a fly.
Yeah.
Okay, right, go on then.
All right, so eat a bag of sugar a day.
Fine.
You're sick quite a lot.
Fine, yeah, I get ill quite a lot, yeah, sure.
Well, physically,
yeah.
You never sit still, you've got ADHD.
Yeah, buzzing
about, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's quite
like
a good point.
Just getting in people's face like a big ginger fly.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. All right, well, I'll take that on the chin.
Yeah.
Do flies have chins?
I don't know, we'll have to go... Good.
Text in if you know flies have chins.
Yeah, if you find that out.
So, if you okay, fine. Well, in my all I got for you, basically, I struggled a little bit because I couldn't think of you like personality wise. But
what?
You've got a bit of like of an Irish wolfhound kind of thing about you. When okay. I look at you, I think of an Irish wolfhound.
Right.
You've got that. It's the beard. When your beard gets bigger, but also
dogs
also,
don't have beards. They're just covered in beards.
Yeah, if they don't shave.
Right.
They've got a beard, but it just extends all over their whole body.
I'm just putting a picture. It's just literally one big beard.
Schnauzers have a little beard. And
yeah, schnauzers do, yeah.
And Irish wolfhounds, they have like, it's more like just like wisps of...
I don't have a wispy beard, like a wizard.
No, not a wisp. That'd be a long beard.
This is stubble, mate.
No,
this
you've got that sort of rugged, rough thing,
rugged,
like
that's
Yorkshire
nice.
Terrier.
That's good.
Like a big, long Yorkshire Terrier or right, an Irish okay. wolfhound. But also, I wrote down, and this isn't technically an animal, but a Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, this is. I've had this quite a lot, weirdly.
Strangely.
Yeah, my ex-girlfriend's dad.
Yeah.
He said that. She's looking at a magazine. So, oh, that looks like Andy.
Yeah.
Picture of Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
And this isn't like a guy who knows Snoop Dogg. This is like a 60-year-old man.
I'm not going to...
So he's more objective than normal people.
I swear to God, he's right. You do.
Seriously.
When your hair is slicked back,
attitude,
you do look
attitude.
A bit like... I love Snoop Dogg. So he's got that sort of... That thin skin, you know, he's got thin skin. I call them thin skinners. Like, there's him, Bob Marley, Christian Bale has it. It's when their skin is really, really tight to their skull. I'd really like that.
Oh, I've got that.
No, you haven't got that, but I think they have that. It's like, you're going to see their sort of skeleton, but they look cool with it.
Yeah.
Like, big, tall, cool skeletons.
Okay, thank you.
With dreadlocks. That's all something right. you've got going on.
Yeah.
Right, should we have a song?
Yeah, let's have a song, because we're not as strange as this introduction has just suggested.
No. Stick with us for this to all make sense. Yeah. It's like that film that makes sense at the end.
Which film? That was David Bowie.
Hello there. Welcome back to Rich and Andy's Audio Vision Quest on Fubar Radio.
Put the jingle again.
Hey. I mean, this is rubbish,
audio
by the way.
Vision Quest.
What? You just... You said A as if you loved it then.
Just trying to make you feel better. Sorry about that. So welcome back. What are we going to chat about now? Chat about anything.
Can't wait. You want me.
So basically, you know, right, I had to talk, I've written these down over the weekend. You know when like you read something in a paper and it's like a serious article, but the wording they use makes you just, for some reason, tickles you a little bit.
Yeah.
Like for some, and it's just think that it's a great description of someone. So basically, we chatted about Julian Casablancas last week, didn't we? The fact that he's actually, Casa means house, Blancas means white. Julian Casablancas is basically Julian Whitehouse.
Yep.
So I want a bit of a White House update. So basically, obviously, the Strokes played on Friday in Hyde Park.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
And I just wanted to, we chatted about Julian Casablancas' hairdo. He looks quite crazy, doesn't he?
He looks like an emo hillbilly.
He's got a really, so basically this was the journalist's description. The band, including singer Julian Casablancas, sporting a post-apocalyptic neon mullet.
That's pretty good.
Which is good. Who was bent double howling like a who was bent double howling like a psychopathic 50s crooner. What an image
good.
Of Julian Whitehouse.
Sounds like we should have gone now.
Which is good. And then from that, after we was in, because I went on the on this march the other day, Andy.
Oh, yeah.
Another little funny thing, just as again, the wording of this is amazing. I don't know why. This is the way. So I went on to Russell Brand's Twitter afterwards because he was down there at the austerity march. Should have been there if you're a good guy. If not, fine.
Wait, was it good or boring?
It was actually quite exciting.
Did you bring a banner? Because one thing I always worry about is if people's arms get tired.
No, I stole one.
Did you?
Well, I didn't steal it. They were free, but like I got a big pink one and waved that around.
Did your arms get tired? Because that's what I always think about.
I kept giving it to someone else to hold.
Did you do that thing where you hold your arm with the other one? You know, like, do you remember at school when, like, you were like, miss, and you had your hand up, but then your hand up would be for so long because she wasn't noticing
it.
So you had to hold it up with the other one.
Yeah, please, pick me, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Was it like annoying. That?
It was, but then apart from without holding it up, I just sort of put it back down when I got bored.
Oh, okay.
But, I got it. This description's amazing. So on I went onto Russell Brand's Twitter, and basically someone had responded to one of his pictures on there, and this was what some woman wrote, obviously a fan, but I love the way, watch how she describes him. She wrote this: "Thank you, you angel, love you. You make a difference every day, you beloved Essex unicorn man."
Who said that?
Just a fan. The beloved Essex unicorn man.
I'd like that. That's
a lovely little thing to be called, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, but actually, I wanted to run something by you because obviously it kicked off a little bit, with police and protesters and stuff. And he had a good little, sometimes his ideas are a bit wacky, aren't they, Russell Brand's?
Yeah.
It's quite controversial things he says. What do you think to this as an idea?
Go on.
He suggested yesterday, because he got slagged off by some left-wing guys saying, down with you, stop, you shouldn't have met Billaband, you're a turncoat and all this stuff. And he just said, how's this for a good idea? Like, you know the police, because there's always a bit of friction between police and protesters. He was saying, right, let's protest for police's rights and see what happens. So imagine having a massive protest, a huge march, so the police have better rights. Then they can't go, right, go get and take him down, because it'd be like, well, no, because...
Because they can't tear gas a guy who's like...
Yeah, I'm protesting for your rights.
Right. Well, maybe it might just be really a peaceful one.
They'd be like, yeah, on you go, carry on.
Yeah.
But then I thought maybe they might get into power, and then, like, suddenly...
You got loads of police on...
Yeah, abuse those rights. Oh, you little buggers.
So hang on, so the police... So someone's... A campaign for police rights.
But basically, so we're not all divided, because obviously we're the same as the police, aren't we? Like the general public, but yeah, they're just employed by that.
They've got uniforms, though. Little
yeah, they've got little hats things. And stuff. But they're employed by the bigger guys, the evil sort of corporations and stuff, aren't they?
Yeah.
So that they can afford to say that, right, we'll give you money to like tell them to f off or whatever. So like back them back in their place, so like people like us. But he's saying, why don't we just like if we have a big protest for the police, saying this is for your rights, they're not going to get annoyed and like start sort of whacking people.
No.
Seems like a good way to get them on side. Like, if we have all the people and all the police and all the sort of... Because they're there for us, aren't they? They're not there to serve the higher elites.
Yeah. But then you're saying a policeman might get in power.
No, I'm just saying, like, oh, it's gone on for too long. I'm just saying, if you, like, do a protest for the rights of the police, they're not going to kick off and, like, serve the people who are... If someone at higher power, like, you know, who's in charge, the politicians say, right, go and tell them to F off.
Yeah.
Then the police can go, no, you F off. They're fighting for my rights. So then there's like loads of us.
Yeah.
Then that'd be great.
Yep. Good idea.
Yeah, okay, fine. I thought you might have something to say on that.
No, nothing. No.
No, okay, right. What did you want to chat about then, Andy?
Let's have a look.
It was your little newsy poo section.
I looked in the... Yeah, I did some news.
Go on, what have you got?
First Direct have got a expert advice on mortgages, available 8 a.m. until 10 p.m.
Right, that's not the news, is it? That's just an advert.
Perfume shop up to 70% off.
Have you not done, have you not done any preparation for this?
No, I didn't.
This is your idea.
I know, but I didn't have time to read
the jungle.
Properly.
Too busy the jungle.
Yeah.
Too busy that. Okay, well,
look at Carlsberg, probably the best.
You're missing out on stuff like this, Andy. On the front page of the Metro. Here we go. Mickey Mouse calls logged as serious crimes. These are some crimes that have been logged as serious crimes. A man having a biscuit thrown at him.
Right.
So,
what's that to Mickey Mouse?
Front page. No, it's not Mickey Mouse. He didn't throw it. I'm just saying, like, they're called Mickey Mouse crimes, you know, like tiny little petty crimes.
Right, okay.
Mickey Mouse isn't going around throwing biscuits at people.
I wonder what it is. What biscuit was it?
Because also, if it is Mickey Mouse, then apparently another crime that's been logged and called into the police court for.
What biscuit was it? Because if it's a hobnob, I understand, because I don't like those.
I think it was a Trio.
Oh, that's a waste.
Yeah, it's a bloody waste, isn't it? Also, children's nettle sting. That's assault. Someone got stung with a nettle.
Really? Yeah. I did that to my mate's, my brother's mate.
Right, well, I'm going to have to dress
His
you up
then. His mum found out, and she got annoyed.
You haven't been dressing as Mickey Mouse, have you?
No, I haven't.
No?
No, never.
Never at all?
No, I don't think so. I never really liked Mickey Mouse. It wasn't my favourite character.
Who's your favourite cartoon character as a kid?
Cartoon one, He-Man.
Yeah. He-Man?
Yeah.
I'd love to see you dress as He-Man.
I dressed as He-Man one time. I got like a... Obviously, he's naked and he's got muscles, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't just walk around with some pants on. Basically, what happened was... No, I didn't get a loincloth.
Okay.
It was like a big... Basically, it was like a big plastic bin bag with some muscles drawn in it.
Right.
I was about four and I walked around the streets dressed like that, sweating my tits off. Because it was all... I was just covered in plastic, so there's nowhere for, you know, to get any air and stuff.
Hang on. Why was a black plastic bag?
It wasn't black. It was just like a... It was a white sort of plasticky sort of like... I don't know, plastic sheet with some muscles drawn on it.
Right.
Is it a professional thing? It wasn't like...
Did your mum make this for you?
No. It was an actual thing.
It sounds ridiculous.
And anyway, basically what happened was, like... Because obviously I felt like I was like flipping out, I'm He-Man.
Yeah.
And I looked at me and I was like, Jesus Christ, look at these muscles.
Well, you deluded yourself.
Well, sort of, yeah. But you know, like, you get carried away when you're a kid, don't you?
Yeah, I
went to like the newsagents, like, fell into a load of bottles, got like loads of cuts all over my feet, and started crying.
So that sounds like just disturbing.
Yeah.
If I saw a little child laying in the gutter with glass all over him and a plastic bag on, I'd think he'd been dumped.
Yeah.
Like a body. Like some sort of serial killer's been on the loose.
Like a weird body bag.
It's fine. It's just my son. I've dressed him as He-Man.
Some sort of muscly body bag.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it was a bit disturbing, actually. Like, I cried a lot, and then my dad had to, he had to get some glass out of my foot.
Jesus, that's... I'll tell you what. We'll talk about this in a second. Father's Day.
Yeah,
we'll save that. That sounds like another amazing thing he's done. I've got a little list of stuff your dad's done, which has been incredible.
All right.
One final bit of news before we go into a song.
Yeah, okay. One sec.
It's from the Metro.
DFS.
You leave yours alone. Squatting in skinny jeans is dangerous, doctors warn. This is apparently the unnamed woman, 35, was squatting it as she emptied cupboards. She recalled her jeans felt increasingly tight as the day wore on. Late that evening, she experienced numbness in her feet before collapsing. When help arrived, her calves were so swollen her jeans had to be cut off and she couldn't move her ankles or toes. She was put on an intravenous drip and it took 4 days before she was able to walk unaided. What an idiot!
Flipping, how tight were these jeans?
What band? Is she in a band?
Sounds like it.
The horrors want to be careful.
Yeah, Jesus, yeah.
Who else wears skinny jeans?
I was just trying to think then, I don't know.
Fielding, he wants to watch himself?
Yeah, Jesus, what?
His feet might plop off.
So just, someone needs to warn Fielding to not squat.
Pardon?
Someone needs to warn him to not squat.
Yeah. Noel, if you're listening, please don't squat. You might lose your feet.
Yep.
And you might have to be put on an intravenous drip.
Should we have a song?
Yes, why not? Let's have a song, please. Right, this is what?
This is, it's called Grand Central.
Ooh! Hello there, welcome back to Rich and Andy's Audio Vision Quest on FUBAR Radio.
Rich and Andy's Audio Vision Quest on FUBAR Radio.
Boom.
Yep.
Wow. Professional.
Well.
Isn't it? So, we're going to be chatting about Father's Day. It's Father's Day on Sunday, Andy.
Well, it was on Sunday.
It wasn't Sunday, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I thought you said it is. Okay.
No, that's what I'm chatting about it.
Okay.
All the stuff that happened.
I thought you realised it hadn't happened.
No. So, yeah, we are going to be chatting about that right now. Did you have a good one, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, it's not really my day, is it? It's my dad's.
Yeah, so what did you get him?
I just got him a book.
What book?
It's called The Martian.
Right, well, what's that about?
It's just about a bloke who goes to Mars.
Right, okay.
What, to it's boring, it's not an exciting book.
Right, fine.
Basically,
something to do with David Bowie,
No, it's not. We can go into what it's about, but it's literally going to waste a lot of time.
It's weird, I never really, because I only found my dad a couple of 3 years ago, so I never really had that sort of manly guy in my life,
no,
such as you did, Andy.
That's why it turned out so camp.
Yeah, exactly. Oh!
What?
I don't know.
What? Is that you doing a camp noise? Or?
No.
Oh, that's a bit...
No, and don't even make me think sound like some sort of... I am a... Listen, leave that. Leave that well alone, that area. Yeah, so I never really had a masculine... What's that word? Masculine sort of influence in my life. I was raised by women.
Raised
which
by women, yeah.
Makes sense. I do...
Yeah.
Yeah. So right, basically, so how do you think that... how did Alan... What rubbed off on you from Alan? Come on.
What did he teach me?
What did he teach you, yeah?
He taught me... What did he teach me?
Come on.
I guess he taught me to not put a magnet on his bank card or on his TV.
What does that mean?
And also don't padlock his scissors together because he goes mental.
Right, okay. What, you did that?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Because he got a strong magnet from work. He's like, oh, check this out. Really, really strong. Like, you couldn't put your fingers. If you know, there's two magnets.
Put your
finger between, like, your finger's coming off.
Yeah.
That's how big it was. So, anyway, I was just, like, I literally magneted everything in the house. Like, I put it on, like, for some reason, I wiped his bank card somehow.
Right, okay. But
he went mental for that. And then I put it on the TV, broke the TV.
Is that why he hates you a little bit?
Yeah.
Right, okay. When was that? 19.
I don't know, 1996 or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
One day you'll get over that.
And also I padlocked his scissors together and he went to use them, obviously couldn't.
You little sh...
I wasn't there at the time, but he went insane apparently.
Who reported that?
My brother.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't want to alarm you, Andy, but you need to get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Dad's just found his scissors. Run.
Exactly.
Oh my God, Andy! Well,
yeah, so you don't really know your dad, do you? Well, you do a bit now. But
I do a bit now, yeah. You
didn't know him when you were a kid.
Yeah, I found him a couple of years ago, hiding out in America. So tracked him down. I think he'll love me deep down, but I think he shows it in odd ways. Like he won't necessarily say that, but he'll send me. I get emails saying things like, "Here's how not to die in a plane crash,"
right?
Which I think is some sort of like, hidden. I think the meaning is there, isn't it?
What he's saying is,
I don't want you to die.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But he didn't dare say it.
He didn't dare say that. I can't really come up with that.
He's not very open with his emotions, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Richard, I like you, and to what to say, I would be annoyed if you died.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. And cheers that.
What did you get him? Did you get him anything Christmas?
No, I was actually almost, because obviously I only found him two years ago, but I was a bit reluctant to even find him, because I thought, hang on a minute, am I going to be quids down there? You know I'm a frugal man.
Yeah.
Thought, I don't want to be forking out. Because also, he's American as well, so there's two Father's Days. There's one here and one over there.
Oh, yeah, so you have to get him twice the present.
That's what I'm saying. I thought,
that's not right.
I nearly considered like not finding him.
Just get him the same thing twice, or get him to send it back, then just send it to him again.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Resend it and say, or maybe I'll tell him just hide it in a cupboard, then get it back out again.
Wrap it himself so you don't have to waste money on the postage.
Yeah, don't send it back to me. Just literally look away for a bit and look back at it. Hey! Yeah. That's two gifts.
That's a good idea. Yeah, do that.
But now he was never around. But your dad, Andy, and I just remembered yesterday when I was trying to think of funny things to do with Father's Day.
Yeah.
Your dad, he's a brave man, isn't he? Alan. What? Alan Needle is a brave man.
Where's this going?
We were kids and he saved your life. The guy's very much a renegade, isn't he?
Hey, what?
He's a thug for hire.
What are you talking about?
Basically, do you not remember when, you might want to tell this better, you were rollerblading.
No, I wasn't there.
You told me this. You were rollerblading in a very dodgy area, and would you just tell us what happened?
I thought you were going to say
All right.
So this was a long time ago. It was about 14 or something. Was it?
Yeah.
Something like that. Basically, me and Mitch used to rollerblade a lot.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, very cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so we were doing that. So we were rollerblading about five of us.
Very hard area.
It's an area called Broadacres. It's like really the rough bit of Harrogate.
Don't want to go down.
Obviously,
there.
Harrogate's pretty.
The rough bit of Harrogate. Wow.
One of the poshest bits of the north.
Yeah.
We were rollerblading about some like rough boys, like playing
bigger
football
boys,
and stuff.
You know the type. Tracksuits, earrings.
Yeah, the spitting and stuff.
Spitting, probably feeler signs blended into the back of their heads.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nightticks and stuff like that. Yeah, so basically they were like, I can't remember what happened. I can't remember just the rest of the story. But
Alan came to the rescue, didn't he? But what was going on that day?
Well, so basically I can't remember how they started chasing us, but like about 40 of them, like I swear that was no exaggeration, 40 of them started chasing me.
Are you sure? It was
us, we were on rollerblades.
Right.
They were on bikes and stuff like that.
Get him. Yeah.
Right. But then like for some reason they all tailed off.
Right.
And it's just one little kid on a bike.
Oh my god.
He's about 12. And we're like, we're 14. Like, he's only 12. We'll smack him in, we'll beat him up. And then we were deliberating what to do.
Yeah.
And we'd gone up another road, like a big road.
Right.
And then we're like, shit, there's only one of them. We can deck him.
Right.
And then suddenly, like, 40 of them, like, what's the word when you get flanked by someone?
No!
Is that what's called in a war?
In war,
all 40
yeah.
from the side, like, poof, all came
it's like sleight of hand. They go, look over here. Oh, is anyone?
Yeah.
Like, get him from behind. Okay, so they rushed
like 40
you.
Of them, and they had, like, some of our baseball bats and shit.
Right.
And so we all, like, pezzed away on a rollerblade, really scared, obviously frightened. I hid in someone's shed, like, just a random, like, neighbour's shed.
I'd love to see the CCTV footage of this. Yeah. Go on.
Yeah, and then we just could hear him like going, oh, where the fuck are they? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Just shouting, screaming and stuff like that. And then like we were really frightened.
But what did they force your brother to do?
Oh, they forced him to...
This is degrading.
What was it again?
What do you mean, what was it?
No, I can't what the word... Basically, did he actually bomb it or...?
Yeah, basically, they made Andy's brother pull his trousers down and bum a snail. Right, you get on the ground and you bum that snail.
I don't think he actually did it.
No, but he had to simulate it.
Yeah, he had his pants on and stuff. The snail didn't get injured or anything. Or
imagine having... That is low, isn't it?
Yeah.
Having to simulate bumming a snail in front of 40 hard lads. Just, what did you do? Did you jump into your brother's aid?
I wasn't there, was I? I was hidden in the shed.
Oh, that's nice of you.
I couldn't hear sexual intercourse being simulated with a snail.
That's probably good, actually.
I was hidden in a little shed, like, trying to hide from the family. Because I could see the family in the window watching EastEnders or something. And I was hidden in their shed. I didn't want to get caught by them.
What? So you're thinking, I'll let him do that snail.
I didn't know any sexy time was going on with the snail. I didn't know about that.
Anyway, Mr. Needle, your father had to come down with a baseball bat, didn't he?
No, a hockey stick.
A hockey stick?
Like some kind of like middle class Jason.
Yeah, he must have looked like, who's that bloke from the Turtles?
Oh, yeah.
Casey Jones.
Casey Jones, yeah.
Casey Jones.
Yeah.
But in like a really nice shirt and like some slacks.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, my God, love to have seen that.
Some pressed chinos, yeah.
So, it's Dick Baby.
Yep.
We need to get
Dick
this.
Baby.
It's, oh, what time's actually?
14:36.
So
is
it's
that Dick Baby time.
This is the first ever Dick Baby, actually, on Fubar Radio.
Yeah, we said it last time, didn't we? But
basically, the way the game works is you send us in an image of your baby and its first name, and we then decipher whether, well, if it's going to be a dick or not.
Yeah.
Because some babies look a bit snide, don't they?
Yeah, they do, exactly, yeah.
But I managed to pick out a celebrity baby for you, yeah, Andy, today.
By the way, I've got one problem with this, right? Basically, because, like, when I envision this dick baby, right, it seems fine that, like, people's... But they send the babies in, right?
Yep.
And then maybe sort of judge whether the baby's a dick or not.
Yeah.
That seems fine because we're both entering into some sort of thing. But if we're just going to do a celebrity baby,
yep,
like the celebrity couple haven't decided whether they want their baby to be called a dick or not.
Well,
we're like Katie Hopkins now.
Oh, she's nicked our game.
Yeah.
Apparently last week, hasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. She slagged off some baby online, didn't she?
Is that a new, like, special section on her show, or is she just... Was that coincidence?
It's not, I don't think it's called Dick Baby as well.
Well, did it go down well, the show?
No, it went down awfully.
Right.
She got slagged off loads.
Oh, no. Well, should we carry on anyway?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Andy, here is... So, basically, you know how some names, you just know they're going to grow up to be a bit of a shit? Like,
yeah.
My friend recently had a cousin called Jago.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe...
That's not going to end well, is it?
That's not going to end well. You've got to be super, super cool.
Yeah.
And a dude to put... Imagine someone saying... Jago is coming round. You'd be like, oh my god. But if he comes round looking like Harry Potter or something,
yeah,
you'd be like,
it's not gonna work out, is it?
Oh no, where's his, like, I thought he was gonna be all cool with, like, you know, some weapons.
That's like, I've got, like, I know someone called but basically I've got my mate, right?
Yeah.
Basically he's like, oh yeah, this girl called Cindy's coming round.
Right.
She's got a friend called Cindy. I'm like, oh my god, Cindy, wicked, like, you know, going amazing.
Yeah, like the doll and
turn around, not amazing.
Oh, because you've head you've built it up, Cindy Crawford,
exactly, yeah,
Cindy the doll.
Cindy little dolly thing. But literally she looks like you know that the mum from Lost Boys.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, her hair on Matt Lucas.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Let's get on with Dick Baby. I've just figured myself out. So here, Andy, the person I've chosen is Justin Timberlake's baby.
Yeah.
Okay, he just had it recently with Jessica Biel. Its name is Silas, and here it is.
Let's have a look.
I'm showing it to Andy now. So
okay.
Andy's just admiring Silas's little head now.
All right. Okay. Look. Okay. The name Silas.
Yeah, what do you think of the
name? Alarm bells are obviously ringing.
Why?
Because it's a dick name, isn't it?
Okay, Silas. Yeah, Silas, yeah. Sounds like silence.
I can't tell. He looks kind of cute, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, and like he's doing something cute with his hand.
But he's sort of got a bit of an arrogant sort of like Jack Nicholson look in his face.
He looks more like a sort of newborn dinosaur.
All right, okay.
Sort of like going, yeah, I don't know. It's very hard to tell.
So,
do you know what? I don't think he's a dick baby. I think
he's not a dick baby.
I mean, obviously, I'm taking his background and stuff.
Yep.
He's probably going to end up with like a sort of tight perm like Justin Timberlake, isn't
he? Yeah, he'd probably keep going,
grab a bit arsey as well.
May. I'll keep doing that as well,
yeah.
Which is annoying. But
bleating
apart from that,
like a sheep.
So what is the answer, Andy? Dick or not?
I'm on the fence with this one. I'm going to say...
Half dick.
I'm going to give him a semi. A semi.
I hope you're not going to give him a semi. That's absolutely awful. Look,
no.
Andy, for God's sakes, listen... Is that baby a dick or not?
I don't... do you know what? I'm going to say no.
Right, so no. Justin Timberlake.
What do you think? What do you think?
Jessica Biel, congratulations.
Yeah,
your son isn't a dick.
Yeah.
Well done.
But also do remember to phone in 20 years' time.
Yeah.
To let us know.
Just phone back, please, Justin, in 20 years' time, and do let us know how you get on.
Yeah.
But we'll keep an eye on Silas as
he goes along. If it's turning sort of dickish,
yeah,
after 10 years, you know, feel free to give us a call. We won't, you know...
If you notice it's sort of stealing out your purse in like 10 years, then just say, look...
Yeah.
Can you just
yeah.
review it again and we'll go, yeah.
Yeah, because we can give it a little pep talk, you know, can sort of listen, sit it down.
You're going down the wrong road, kid.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right, Andy.
Yeah.
Song, please.
I thought you were going to do other Dick Baby.
Oh, are we?
There's another Dick Baby.
Well, I wasn't made aware of this.
Yeah, you were. It's your mate.
Well, let's do it later on anyway. Let's have a song and we'll do that later on.
Sure.
I think. Because
sure,
I think
sure.
I wasn't sure if two Dick Babies might be a bit overwhelming.
No, double dick. Fine.
No. We'll do it later with Eric.
All right. Because I was
we'll be right back.
That was Tame Impala with Disciples.
That's right. Welcome back to FUBAR Radio. It's the Rich and Andy Audio Vision Quest. Good to have you back, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. So come on, Andy. What's your little thing you got going on there? This is Andy's,
right, okay, look,
so, Andy's turn now.
Right, okay. So basically, my brother sent me this thing the other day.
Okay.
And it's a clip of Rolf Harris.
Okay.
And he was saying, like, Jesus Christ, how do we not know that something was a little bit odd with this guy?
Okay, right.
Okay, so I want to just play you this clip. It's a clip from a radio show. I think it was done in about the 90s or something like that.
Okay.
And it's basically, he was told to do a spoof song.
Right.
Okay, so this
well,
is what,
off the cuff.
Off the, well, I don't know if it was off the cuff, but he was told to do a spoof song.
Okay, sure.
Okay, so, okay, this is what he did.
Rolf Harris.
Yep.
I love myself. I want you to love me when I feel down. I want you above me. I search myself. Oh, I want you to find me. I forget myself.
Oh. Don't make it the same noise as
them. Remind me.
Ooh. Don't do the same noise that he's doing.
Anybody else? When I think about you, I touch myself.
No. Oh my God.
I don't want anybody else. Oh no.
He makes it like a, he makes a weird innuendo in it as well. This is Rolf Harris.
What the hell?
You're the one who makes me come.
What?
Oh, oh my running. God. Oh, sorry.
No. Yeah. No way.
It's insane,
the sun who makes me shine.
No, he did not just do that.
Yeah.
When you're
where was this on?
Huh?
What was this on?
The radio show.
And he's laughing about it. Oh, just let me grasp myself up there.
Oh, sorry. where was I? Oh,
you were touching yourself.
I want to make you mine. I close my eyes.
Yeah, that's pretty
this
much
isn't real. This isn't real.
Huh?
I yeah. think
no
I'd
way.
Yes, yeah,
you were to ignore.
Oh, that's enough of that.
What
it's,
the
it's,
hell
it's,
is
it's too much, isn't it? That's what I'm saying to you. That's insane, isn't it?
What in God's name?
And how do we not know?
Didn't he? Oh, sorry about that. It's like when O.J. Simpson said that thing when he went on that interview. He went and just remember, the killer might still be out there. I mean, it is out there. It's out there.
Yeah.
Oh God,
exposed himself. That.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but that's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then got me. Also, it got me reminded me of something. Which is a bit weird, right? It's a children's TV program.
Yeah.
Operation Yew Tree obviously got Rolf Harris.
Yeah, big time.
Right, but there's obviously still some other guys out there.
Yeah, there's loads
right?
of them.
Do you remember Denver the Last Dinosaur?
BBC. Yeah, what, the Denver?
Yep.
The
last, right, yep. Okay. Let me just play the theme tune to that and see if it's that, hear something a bit weird in it.
Okay.
All right.
Gosh, I love this song.
I love this song. Right, yeah. Wait, right.
Yeah. Denver.
Yeah.
The last dinosaur. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, he's my friend and a whole lot more.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Oh my God.
He's my friend. What's more than friends?
Lovers.
Yeah.
And who's singing that?
One of the kids.
Oh, he sounds very old for a kid.
His voice broke or something.
What the hell?
Also as well, I watched it online, right? And when he says him to my friend and a whole lot more, Denver licks a boy's face.
What is going on?
Swear to God.
This is like, if the Illuminati get hold of this, they're going
to... The Operation Neutrium must come down this guy's like a ton of bricks.
And he's a sort of lizard.
Which, well, he's a dinosaur, isn't he? He's not a sort of lizard.
Yeah, well, David Icke doesn't really mind, you know...
Okay, there's no differentiation between them.
They're pretty similar.
But this guy's a paedophile, surely.
Denver?
Yeah. Well, basically, like, why is he dressing like a teenager? He's 65 million years old.
For God's sakes, you're right. Denver, if you're out there, can you please tweet in?
Yeah. He's probably in hiding.
He's probably in hiding now. He has to go into undercover with Max Clifford's probably going to grass him up. I'd love to see Denver the Dinosaur and Max Clifford just sort of chilling in a hot tub with a cigar. I
have to take his electric guitar off because it'd be dangerous in the jacuzzi.
Yeah, you're right. Was he always rocking out? Was he a rock star?
Yeah, he was loving it, wasn't he? He's always playing
a 65 million year old rock star.
Yeah.
Like Keith Richards.
Boom! Exactly.
Sorry, that was...
So what do you think of that then?
Well, I think you might have uncovered something there.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
It's weird, isn't it, that whole... Yew Tree thing. Were they all at it? It's like they're having some sort of competition that no one was in on.
What do you mean?
YouTube, like the whole, why was there such a vast number of people like involved in that? It was like everyone started popping up.
What?
The whole YouTube thing. Well, it was like they were all doing it, but like,
has YouTube got many branches? What's the connection between yew trees? Has it got like a lot of,
I don't know,
leaves? Are they the leaves or the branches, or is there no metaphor to be had here?
What is a yew tree?
It's just, I don't know.
Can we find one in the next song?
Yeah, we need to find one out, don't we?
Yeah, I'd love
to look
see
at
that.
One. Oh, you know, I've got a little fact for you.
Go on.
You know Firefox?
What you mean as in the
search engine?
Yeah.
You know the little logo?
Yeah.
It's not actually a fox.
What is it?
It's a red panda.
No way.
Yeah.
Can we use that as rich information?
Yep, sure.
Right, so rich information this week was, what was it?
I can't be bothered to say it again.
Forget about it. Pointless information.
I've got another. Basically, last week Rich had a new section called Rich Information.
Yep.
Which was meant to be a pun, was it, or not?
It was supposed to be the information was supposed to be rich, but it was also coming from a man called Rich. So this.
Yeah, it didn't really work, basically.
It wasn't a good pun. Nah, it's pathetic.
But then this week you've struggled, haven't you?
Yes, I couldn't really come up with anything.
Which is why you're nicking a lot of my facts.
Yeah, I've stolen yours. Don't need to go into that now. So should we have a song and have Stalking Kurt Russell?
Yeah, sure. Can I just tell you another quick little fact? Or
go for it.
Alright, do you know Bryan Adams?
Yes, I do.
He's got that famous song, Summer of 69.
Yes, yeah, fantastic.
Right, maybe it's just me getting confused on this one, but
right.
You know in the Summer of 69...
Yeah, because he was doing a stuff like me and some boys from school.
Yeah.
They had a band and they were playing really hard and Jimmy quit and Jody got married and all that.
Loads of crazy stuff happened.
Yeah, well, he must have been off his head.
Yeah, exactly. Off his head on drugs, doing crazy shit.
Yeah.
In 1969, Bryan Adams was 10.
So that song isn't factually...
It's not factually correct.
He'd have just been... Hang on a minute.
He'd just been going...
His Summer of...
Went to the seaside, got a lolly.
Yeah, exactly.
Got spread in the face with a super soaker.
Yeah, got burly by my friends and pooed in my pants.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, he's talking shit.
So, what... Brian, you little liar.
Yeah.
Now I'm just going to picture a little toddler freshen that out when I listen to it now on Spotify, which I do quite regularly, actually. I like that song.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's a little guilty pleasure.
Mate, you need to get your music choice sorted out.
I know. So, right, so we're going to take a song now, and then we've got... Next up, we're going to be chatting to... A lovely man in America who played hockey with Kurt Russell's son, Wyatt.
Okay.
Sweet Jesus.
You, you little stupid ass bitch, I ain't fucking with you. You little dumb ass bitch, I ain't fucking with you. I got a million trillion things I'd rather fucking do than to be fucking with you. Little stupid ass, I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck, bitch, I don't give a fuck about you or anything that you do, don't give a fuck about you or anything that you do. I heard you got a new man, I see you taking the pic, then you post it up, thinking that it's making me sick, I see you calling, I be making it quick, I'ma answer that shit like I don't fuck with you, bitch, I got no feelings to go, I swear I had it up to here, I got no feelings to go, I mean for real, fuck how you feel, fuck it too sensitive, it ain't going towards the bill. Yeah, and every day I wake up celebrating shit. Why? Cause I just dodged a bullet from a crazy bitch. I stuck to my guns, that's what made me rich. That's what put me on, that's what got me here. That's what made me this. And everything that I do is my first name. These hoes chase bread, aw damn, she got a bird brain. Ain't nothing but trilling me, aw man, silly me. I just bought a crib, 3 stories, that bitch a trilogy. And you know I'm rolling weed that's fucking up the ozone. I got a bitch that text me, she ain't got no clothes on. And then another one text me, yo ass next. And I'ma text your ass back like I don't fuck with you. You little stupid ass bitch, I ain't fucking with you. You little dumb ass bitch, I ain't fucking with you. I got a million trillion things I'd rather fucking do than to be fucking with you. Little stupid ass, I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck, bitch, I don't give a fuck about you or anything that you do, don't give a fuck about you or anything that you do.
don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck, bitch. I don't give a fuck about you or anything that you do. Don't give a fuck about you or anything that you do.
Got a million things on my mind. Executive deals online. Limited amount of time. Chasing these dollar signs. And you ain't on your grind. You might be able to find me up in the MGM casino in the deep. Fucking off Fetty, I could have put on property. From the beta to murder it. My niggas put murder missions. She choosing, that's her decision. Free my niggas in prison. On the phone with a bitch who can't do shit for a pimp, but make a nigga hella rich. Got a blunt and my dental, blowing hemp and a rental. On my way to Sacramento, late night, Arsenio. I'm never sentimental, go hard or go homeless. Barely, hardly, I'm chromeless. You might end up domeless. I bet you she into me, her cheddar she giving me. I make a bitch stand outside forever like the Statue of Liberty. Rest in pimp, pimp C, underground king of the South. I raise my styrofoam up. But them niggas cool, it's just that.
Bitch, I ain't fucking with you.
Bitch!
You little stupid ass bitch, I ain't fucking with you.
Uh-uh.
You little dumb ass bitch, I ain't fucking with you. I got a million trillion things I'd rather fucking do than to be fucking with you. Little stupid ass, I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck, bitch. I don't give a fuck about you or anything that you do. Don't give a fuck about you or anything that you do. I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck, bitch. I don't give a fuck about you or anything that you do.
Rich and Addy's Audio Vision Quest on FUBAR Radio.
Ah, hello there. Welcome back to FUBAR Radio. It's Rich and Andy's Audio Vision Quest with me, Richard Hardesty, and...
Andrew Needle.
Andrew Needle, the guy over there. So, up now, we've got, a very special section. Never been done on radio before, I doubt. How's it?
I doubt it.
Basically,
I don't think it's legally allowed to do it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's illegal. So only on the FUBAR radio will you get stuff like this.
Yeah.
Illegal. So basically, it's called Stalking Kurt Russell. And me and Andy are determined over our time with FUBAR radio is to get our idol, Kurt Russell, on the phone or chatting to us somehow, maybe in the studio, and get him on the show.
Yeah.
So we're going to go about that any means necessary. So we've basically been doing a bit of detective work. By that, I mean a couple of posts to Facebook.
Yeah, that's
a couple of tweets
out
there.
You just posted to Facebook once, that's it.
Well, don't ruin the magic. Yeah, detective work in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
And basically, we got someone coming back to us saying, basically, my brother played hockey with with Kurt's son, Wyatt.
But you need to explain why we're doing Stalking Kurt Russell.
Well, we just love him, don't we?
Yeah, exactly.
Think of a wonderful man.
But also, like, okay, so when we were kids,
yeah,
I told Rich's mum that she looked like Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
She got a short haircut, didn't she?
She got a haircut too short. She got quite a strong jaw ended up,
It made her quite upset.
It made her look a bit like Kurt Russell, yeah. She's a very handsome woman.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
So, you know, maybe when I chat to him, maybe I'll have a kinship with him.
Yeah. So basically, ever since then, we've kind of been a bit obsessed with Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
And hence why we want to get him on the show.
Get him down here. So this now is the chat that we had this week. Enjoy. So now it's the time that we've been waiting for. All our lives, or specifically the last 3 days since we came up with the idea, it's time for Stalking Kurt Russell. Okay, so we've got a guy now on the line, okay? He played son. No, he didn't. Professional radio. He played hockey with Kurt's son, Wyatt. And we're going to talk to him from America right now. Kevin?
How's it going?
Hey, it's good, man. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
I'm good. Where are you?
Well, I am in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
That sounds made up.
Yeah, it pretty much should be.
Winnipeg, Manitoba, in a Winnebago. Sounds like one of those sorts of words.
Yeah, no, it's interesting little side note. Like, I'm originally from Vancouver, Canada, which you guys probably know more of about that.
Yeah.
Beautiful city. Mm-hmm. But Winnipeg, Manitoba is the coldest major city on the planet.
What?
Oh, sucks. My.
Jeez. What, so when you go out, do your eyebrows get frozen?
In between the months of November and March, it hits like 45 below Celsius.
Oh, my.
It literally will freeze your eyeballs.
Shit. So frozen eyeballs.
Could you like spit into the air and like catch like a little ice ball?
Whoa.
Well, it's not. If you had a cup of boiling water, you throw it out into the air and it turns into misty ice and.
So if I'm there and like if I fall out with Andy's opposite mate, and I go, do you know what? I'm sick of this man in my life. I throw some scalding water at him. By the time it hits him, he's cold.
I'll get ice in my
eye. He'd be frozen. It would be ice.
So I'd be frozen.
It's impossible to scald someone to death.
So, hang on,
you should YouTube it one day. It's actually a thing.
But if you go for a wee and stuff, it'll freeze up your.
Oh my god!
It's cold.
So
we've established that Vancouver is very, very cold.
Okay.
But let's get to the important hot topic. You played hockey with Kurt Russell's son, Wyatt. How did this happen?
How did it feel?
Well, this is going back about 14 years. I went to a tryout, a training camp for a hockey team.
Okay.
And Wyatt and I were both goalies at this training camp.
So Wyatt's a goalie. Okay, cool.
Wyatt was a goalie. And basically we went to the training camp. There was like 7 goalies in the camp. Okay. And Wyatt and I were kind of competing for a future position on the team because we were too young to play on the team.
So you were head-to-head with Kurt Russell's son in competition?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my god. Okay. So yeah, carry on.
It was pretty good. And you know, I actually had the chance to meet Kurt Russell, and he would come in. He would come in during the day and kind of watch the practices and the games, and then I think he would just basically take back off to Vancouver at night.
Did he stand like with his sort of like hands on his hips, just like proud, sort of looking like, yeah, I'm Kurt Russell.
You know what? He actually was the complete opposite. He kind of sat quietly up in the stands, not away from everyone, but just kind of kept to himself a little bit.
That's cool.
Mysterious.
He tried to let the attention be on his son.
Yes, exactly, not on him.
That's the way
I
viewed it.
Because that's what I want to do. I want to get really famous so then I can then hide away and sort of be mysterious. It's sort of the long way around,
that's
really.
That's exactly it. I think the more famous people get, the more mysterious they get. They get
more withdrawn.
They try and be so nonchalant in public.
Yeah, like DiCaprio. Yeah. He's always got to pull his... He was a flat cap pulled down. He's got his phone in his face. He can't even show his face. He's so famous.
Some of them look like invisible men, don't they? Like Steve Martin. He's got glasses on. He's got a baseball cap on, a little scarf.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it might be something you could try. Because if it's something that you wear a low brim hat, you just look at that person and go, that person must be famous.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Don't tell him that, because Rich will be doing that literally in about 10 minutes.
Honestly, I love that. Like, that's the weird thing. They have, like, people do that, don't they? They make themselves look more, like, famous, even though they're trying to disguise themselves.
Yeah.
I remember once I was going through Manchester and I saw, like, basically David Beckham, like, looking annoyed because people were papping his car and he had, like, blacked out windows. But then I looked at his number plate, it said Beck's One. So what the hell's he playing at?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just like you give yourself away. But anyway, let's bring this back to Kurt Russell. So did you touch him?
What?
Did I touch him?
Yeah.
Okay,
I remember standing in the hotel lobby, and I got it. He was basically there talking to Wyatt, and I went up because I had basically spent quite a bit of time with Wyatt through those 4 days.
Oh my God.
And I got to say hello, meet him, and shake his hand. That was kind of the extent of it. It was about a minute and a half.
Was his hand like all warm, like you know when like a teacher or an uncle? Do you know what I mean?
I don't remember the temperature of his hand. The temperature of his hand.
Did he smell famous?
Yeah, did he smell better than other men?
I don't know. I was... I guess he must have had a famous... celebrity scent.
Yeah,
like Britney.
The scent of fame just wafting behind him.
The Nicole Richie's fragrance, Miley.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And because I know you gave me a little bit. How did he arrive? Did he arrive in a car? Did he just walk up? Or?
Well, I never, with my own two eyes, saw him arrive every day, but I know that apparently there was air transportation for him to go back to Vancouver every day, because I heard parents at the camp talking about it.
Helicopter.
A chopper.
He probably like a helicopter. I think it was some type of helicopter.
So hang on. So he's being really trying to be inconspicuous in a helicopter.
Yeah. Exactly. You got sunglasses on. He's got his cap pulled down, and a helicopter that says "I'm Kurt Russell" on it, landing in.
Well, it's not like the helicopter landed on the roof at the arena. I'm sure it. He landed at the airport and then...
Did he abseil out?
Hired a car or something.
That'd be amazing. Did he abseil out and just land in the middle of the football game? That'd be amazing.
No, he didn't pull that move.
No,
he did not do that. That would have been something else to see, though.
Yeah. Wow, wait.
What about Goldie Holm? Was she there?
Was Goldie there?
She was on the... This is going back a long time, guys. She was there one of the days.
Stop saying that, because it makes it sound like... could you just say this was last year?
I'm trying to sound fresh.
Yeah. You're welcome to current radio.
There you go. No, but it's... I do remember seeing her, but I never actually had a chance to meet her.
Okay. Cool. Well, she's not that important to us, is she?
No, it's more Kurt.
We can take or leave Goldie. But so what do you... Right, a bit of advice. How do you think we could get in touch with Wyatt?
I don't know. I don't like. I think you guys are, you know, if you stalk Kurt and Wyatt hard enough, I'm sure you'll.
We're willing to stalk pretty hard. Okay.
Yeah. We're within the realms of the law.
I mean, it's something that if your end goal is to get to Kurt Russell, I mean,
we can do it.
Getting to Wyatt might be chapter one of getting there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, maybe you have to go through two or three people to get to him.
Is he on Facebook?
I don't have him. I'm not. Cool. I haven't talked to him.
Well, we can sort these details out later. So. Maybe.
If we mention you to Wyatt, will he? Could that be detrimental? Will he go, I love that guy?
He would probably just like I. The only reason I really remember him is because he's Kurt Russell's son, right?
Mm. Okay.
There was probably 40 of us at this camp, but you know, if you mentioned the hockey camp.
Yes.
In Prince George, British Columbia for the Prince George Cougars. He might remember that.
Okay.
Maybe you can pretend that you were there.
Okay, cool. I'll do that. Yeah, that's good, Andy. We'll lie.
Yeah, let's
lie.
Do it. Yeah,
I'm gonna do is
When in doubt.
When in doubt, lie. Yeah. Lies got us into this mess, and lies will get us out.
Good.
Okay, what I might have to do, Kevin, just so you know, is steal your identity to be able to do this. So if you get any sort of, I don't know, calls from the police saying that you've been trying to get back in contact with Wyatt Russell, just go along with it. Just go along with it.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay, perfect. Fine. Right, well thank you so much, Kevin, for speaking to us. You've been amazing.
Great.
No worries, thank you, and good luck on your hunt. And I'm hoping to hear back from you guys if you do get in touch with Kurt Russell.
We'll let you know.
We'll tell
and
you.
And please take care and make sure your piss doesn't freeze.
Yes, absolutely. It's warm now.
Okay, great. What your piss?
That's good to know.
Your piss or the temperature?
My temperature.
My piss is warm.
I think maybe
your urine. But the weather is warm now, so my piss won't freeze.
Okay, good. Well, it's good to know. Right, nice take care, one. Kevin.
See you later.
There. Welcome back to FUBAR Radio. It's Rich and Andy's Audio Vision Quest.
That was Fleetwood Mac.
And before that, it was the item Stalking Kurt Russell, where
that's
we
right.
try and stalk and hunt down our childhood hero, Kurt Russell, to get him on the show.
Yeah.
Because we love him. Now, we've got another interview coming up with a very exciting woman, actually. I saw her on the Huffington Post doing a big interview, and she basically is a psychologist who works with famous people and the effects of fame on the brain.
Yeah.
Which is something we talk about quite a lot.
I can see her on Skype right now. She's moving about quite a lot.
Oh, you can see her on Skype. Wicked,
yeah,
right.
She keeps getting out of a chair. Now the thing's gone off.
Has she come back?
No. So I think she covered up the screen with her hand. Anyway.
Right. So should we cut to her?
Yeah.
Right, let's speak to Donna Rockwell, hello, are you there?
Hello, Donna. Donna, are you there?
Hello, Donna.
The screen's gone black, so...
Oh, no. This is a disaster. Donna, are you alive? Oh, I think she might have... Oh, no.
Well, she was moving about quite a lot. I mean, she's got...
It was like the ring. That. She's just gone. Is she okay? Well, anyway, we'll just chat anyway. Ah, well, this should be a nice little interesting thing there.
Maybe I can pretend to be Donna if you want.
This is technology. Do you want to be Donna?
Yeah, sure.
Donna.
Is she American?
Well, she is, yeah.
So, okay, she might still be listening. I don't want to offend her.
I'm only joking, yeah, yeah. But she is a... yeah, she's an American woman. Got all the way over there. And now technology's let us down.
And what... So this Donna lady, so what has she... She's written a book?
Yeah, she's written a book on the effects of fame on the brain. So she's... You know how famous people become, like, generally... idiots, don't they? Something happens. People change. People say, oh, fame's changed him. I think because of a very, very potent force, isn't it?
Yeah, it changes your life, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, you can't have your whole environment change and then you not change. So yeah. I just wanted to chat to someone about who's actually got some facts on it.
Yeah, she's written a whole book about it.
Yeah, I mean, me and you always chat about fame, aren't we? Like, Justin Bieber. It doesn't
seem like what it's cracked up to be. And also, I don't know, with Justin Bieber, I kind of feel that everyone's having a go at him, but you're going to be a dick if you're like that.
How could you not
be? That's, you know, that's what's happened to you and stuff. You're bound to be one.
Yeah. Hello? Hello?
Donna?
Is Donna on the line?
Is that Donna?
Oh, are we there?
No, it's just... No,
do we have radio communication, anyone?
Yeah,
no.
Justin Bieber, like, he's... I mean, okay, so, like, imagine me and you, like, yeah. When we were, like, 17, 18, we were dicks.
We thought we were it.
Yeah, and we were, like, doing stuff that basically, he's doing all the stuff normal teenagers do.
Yeah, like you crash your car
take
over
drugs,
a roundabout.
Crash your car, crash my car over a roundabout. If that was Bieber, people would have gone mental.
Under a microscope. Imagine what we look like. Imagine if we were famous, yeah, when we were 17. I had a ridiculous Mohican haircut.
Yeah.
I had, what else were we? Studded jeans.
Yeah, we'd go to
cover
gay clubs.
Cake ourselves in bleach and
we
go to gay clubs.
We just went to
it was cool, no, but we loved it.
Yeah.
It was great.
But
it was,
we looked ridiculous.
Absolutely insane.
We were ridiculous. Basically.
Andy had massive hair, pink jeans, and a snakeskin jacket.
And we'd wear sunglasses into nightclubs.
Just think about that.
And keep them on all night.
Think about seeing an 18-year-old boy.
We couldn't see anything, we were bumping into shit.
I know, but I thought we looked awesome.
Yeah.
So embarrassing when you look back. I remember the chat one point when I was like sat in the post office and some like normal people came in, you know, the kids, and like they sort of, they're obviously looking at me going, he looks like an imbecile.
Yeah.
But in my head I was like, they think I am it.
But this is it. This is Justin Bieber doing this. But the thing is, you know, like, and also, I guess like when you're a kid, you want to try and rebel against things, don't you?
Yeah.
Your teachers, your friends, or what? Not your friends, but your teachers and your parents and things
Anything.
Like that. He's doing that, but like he's rebelling to something which is a thousand times bigger than this. He's rebelling against like
the world,
the idea of fame, or he's rebelling against like his managers, his PR, his press, and so all telling him to do one thing. He's like, I'm a teenager. I want to do what fuck I want.
Whatever you tell me to do,
piss into a bucket or whatever he did.
Yeah, is that what he did?
Yeah, I think so.
So he does for kicks now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a mad thing, isn't it?
I want to spit at Orlando
Bloom. You only know who you are by what you're told. You only know you're funny if people laugh at your jokes. So imagine, like, he must think he's hilarious. Like, whatever he says, everyone goes, yes, you're right, you're so right.
And, like,
so
he gets his, like, nipple out.
And gets 100,000 likes.
Yeah.
So what do you expect? Just to be a grounded little individual?
No, I mean, it's not going to happen. But I think he's a product of what we've made him.
But how many Twitter followers have we got? 60?
Less than that, probably.
Well, basically, if you do a tweet and you get 3 likes, I think, yes, wow, really good. So imagine getting like a
6 million. 6 million.
6 million likes. You'd be like, I am really good.
And post a picture of you pouting, get 6 million likes. You're going to do it again, aren't you?
You're going to keep pouting.
Yeah.
You're going to go pout mental.
Yeah.
Compartmentalised.
Pout City. But yeah, basically, hopefully, Donna's going to... does she know Bieber or...
I don't know, but where is she? Why? Should we talk about something else until
Maybe
we get
just
Donna on the line?
Shout Donna loud enough, she'll hear it.
Donna,
where's she
from?
America? In America? It might take 8 hours. What's the speed of sound?
I think it's about 200 miles an hour.
Right, okay.
Something like that.
Hang on, so we might just figure out. Okay, so that will take...
You couldn't do it in an Astra.
No?
No. You can put some sound
into
it.
You couldn't race the speed of sound in an Astra.
No, you wouldn't.
What about like a Ford Mondeo?
Oh, maybe. They're pretty snazzy,
yeah,
aren't
pretty
they?
Nippy,
they
aren't
can
they?
Zip around.
You'd have to get a dragster, probably, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I love those dragsters. One of the massive wheels at the back.
What the hell was that?
Is that magic happening? Or is that Skype?
Is that Donna, are you playing the harp?
Donna, are you an angel?
Donna, why are you playing the harp instead
of... Should you be answering to her? Hello?
Donna?
Hello?
Hello, Donna.
Oh, my God. Donna Rockwell, hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we got you. Sorry about that. That's technology. Let's blame Bill Gates for that or someone else. Hello, can you hear us? Can you hear us, Andy?
I don't know. I don't know if she can or not.
How are you? I'm on Skype.
Okay, cool.
Sorry about this. Maybe the line's quite bad. Thank you so much for chatting to us.
No. I can't hear you.
You can't hear?
I mean, I don't hear anything coming through Skype.
Okay. Why do you keep pointing at me? I'm not doing anything.
Because if I jab hard enough, I think you're going to make it happen.
There's no buttons for me to press.
There's no
to
sound
make
coming through here.
Donna, this has been more audible for us.
Okay, does this sound okay?
Yes.
Or do you want to call my landline?
We can hear you.
It sounds
you.
Fine to us.
The landline could be maybe better. Would that be better,
okay,
guys? Yeah, we'll call the landline if that's all right,
yeah,
Donna.
Sure.
Well, she can't hear me say that. What's the point?
Yeah.
This is insane. Okay, well, in that case...
Anyway,
I'll
basically, she's
going
to... hopefully, she's going to say fame's not as cracked up to be.
Yeah.
You've got a few tidbits that she's going to say, haven't you?
I was just going to ask her if she'd ever met Kurt Russell. That's a good thing we can have.
Yeah.
Because she might know if he's actually a nice guy. And stuff like... I don't want to talk about this too much because we'll get... What have we got? Have had something been handed to us?
Okay, sure.
Right.
1 second.
This is Anna Kay.
Oh, hello, Donna?
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Jesus Christ.
Wow. Yeah. There you are. Hello, Donna. Are we on the landline now?
I'm getting feedback.
Oh, you're getting feedback. Is that better?
No, I'm hearing myself.
Oh,
I'm hearing myself.
Will you call my landline?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure, we'll do that.
We'll call the landline.
Okay, I'll be waiting.
Okay. Wicked.
We'll,
thank you very much.
We'll just pick you up some more.
We'll keep introducing you. So I'm not sure I mentioned.
Okay, please do.
Wicked. Five times now.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right.
Speaking to her in a second. This is... Wow. I was going to say, this is FUBAR Radio. I thought... Let's do that. Really? Have a little jingle.
Well, that's not working now.
Oh, for God's sakes, the jingles have gone down. We're jingleless.
Let's go back to the classic jingle. Hopefully that one.
Yeah.
No, that's not working either.
Not even Andy's is working.
What the hell?
Wow.
When my jingle
this
doesn't even work.
It's the best.
You've gone up... Cack alley.
Yeah.
All right, so you told me some things about what Donna had said. Tell me about this.
Donna, okay, so basically Donna has explained how we are a product of our environment, aren't we? But I'm going to get her on the line, so I don't want to talk about that too much.
Just say a few little sort of things that you might see on the back of a book.
It might say Donna is a psychiatrist. She also teaches mindfulness meditation to help people cope with it all, the stress.
But look, basically you told me about how if you're famous, you start to get a lack of empathy for other
beings. Yeah, but she's going to tell us that.
I know, but she didn't need to repeat it, does she? Can go on. She hasn't got one thing she's going to repeat, recite like a parrot.
Yeah, she's going to come on and just say fame is... X and then disappear.
Right. Well, that's probably what she will do.
It's been handed. We have my notes here.
I'm here.
Donna, hello. How are you doing?
Hello. Wow.
Yes, I've appeared again.
Wow.
Like
a little magician.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's my pleasure, absolutely.
Wow. Oh, so we've been trying to basically give you an intro. Do you want to just explain a bit about who you are and what you do and how you sort of got into analysing fame and the psychology of it?
Sure. Well, I used to be in the news business myself. I worked for CNN when it first started, helping to open the Washington Bureau, and traveled around with presidents and such to Europe and Versailles and Checkpoint Charlie. So I got to really be in the midst of this whole scene.
Mm.
And in witnessing what I saw as interesting psychological changes in those around me,
wow,
I wondered how the dynamic unfolded for people. And so when I went and I left the news business, I was a stay-at-home mom for a long time, which was my favorite job of all. And then I went back and got my doctorate in clinical psychology and chose to study, first off, mindfulness and meditation because I found it so valuable in my life. But then for my doctorate, to look into the psychology of fame and celebrity.
Wow.
And in fact, I found one of your guys, David Giles.
Who
wrote The Illusions of Immortality, The Psychology of Fame and Celebrity. And he was on my dissertation committee.
Oh, he's English, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
I just felt like he was a mate of us.
So and what, when you looked into it, what were some
You'll
of
have
the...
to interview him as well.
Oh, we'll
yeah,
get him,
yeah,
we'll get him 100%.
Good.
Definitely. And he's in England, is he?
Yes.
Oh, we actually get him in the studio, so there's no technological difficulties.
Exactly.
So what was the main thing? Because basically we're going to have to, I don't want to, keep on too long, but you know how genuinely with famous people, me and Andy always empathise with them because we think, you're a product of your environment. So if you turn into, I don't want to be rude, an idiot or a dick or, if it goes to your head, then is that their fault? Because people... You only know what you're told. So I imagine a lot of these famous people get laughed at when they maybe don't tell a joke that's that funny, or because people want to be close to them,
people laugh, they don't get laughed at. People humour them a lot more than you would a normal person.
Well, you're actually onto it exactly. What happens is that there's something called acquired situational narcissism,
okay.
which means you don't have to be born with some early life deficits in order to manifest the symptoms of narcissism in your life. And it does come from exactly that, from people not mirroring the celebrity appropriately.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you'd stomp away from me, you're going to glad hand with the celebrity because of something called reflected glory. You know, we like being around the celebrity. We love, that's the closest we can get
yeah.
to that experience. So we glom on. And in fact, the poor celebrity, to your point, has nothing to bounce off of that's appropriate or authentic, so they do change.
Okay, do you...
And
sorry, go mm-hmm. on. Sorry, I was getting...
And what I found is that their lives are end up being very, very sad and lonely. They don't trust anyone, old friends or new, and there's no privacy in public spaces.
That's the
thing. Their world actually shrinks.
I was thinking, like, basically... You know when people like say, oh, since he got famous, he doesn't really talk to me anymore. I've not seen him. He hangs around with all these other people. But do you think that that's maybe because you don't have anything in common with people anymore? Like, imagine if you're earning $50 million a movie and you've got girls chasing you down the street. The last thing, if your mate works in a shop who you're friends with since you were a kid, if you come in and go, oh, I've had a nightmare day. I've had 50 million girls chasing me. I've just like been paid $10 million. I don't know what to do about this movie. Your friends are going to be like, I don't want to hear that. I can't pay my bills. So then you have you've got no one to moan to either, because people go, don't come to me with your problems.
Yeah, also it seems, I guess that's why famous people tend to go out with famous people, because they're both in the same situation. They can both empathize with each other's.
Is that true? Or
well, what came up in my research was so many of the famous people I interviewed described it as being members of quote unquote an exclusive club.
Right.
So they do. They all like hang together. They all understand each other's problems. So they create their own sort of private country club in which famous people hobnob.
Yeah, they sort of knock to each other.
And the other thing that's interesting is that for the famous person, I heard this from a person, A-list movie star, everyone would know his name, saying that he's lost friends because at dinner, this is a quote, fame sits between them like a bloated cod.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's this sort of unspoken thing that... is the elephant.
Yeah, you can't
and
do anything about
there
it.
On, from there on, they have to relate through the elephant.
Oh, my God, because I've always thought that's like when we go into a room, it's quite good to be anonymous, to be like, I get to go, hi, my name's Rich, and they get, without any prejudgment, here I am. But every room they go into, people go, oh, my God, that's X. And then for no sort of interaction is authentic, because you know that they know who you are. They don't want, even if they're being nice because they know that you know that they are famous.
Exactly.
It's just, the whole thing is a charade. Where do I go to have a normal conversation?
Yeah, I mean, there's no natural balance of power between two people. I mean, the power is skewed.
Exactly right.
Right,
and another description was they walk into the room and it's like a sea of eyes.
Yeah.
It's always like a sea of eyes wherever they walk. And it becomes intimidating after a while. You have to really understand. And the other thing that's important is that if you start shunning these people... your fan base, that's your boss.
Yeah.
That's who you work for. And so you have to have enough maturity, enough mindfulness, if you will, to really conceptualize what's going on and to interpret it for yourself so you know how you can be a certain person and act in another way.
Well, this is
the other thing that came up in the research was splitting. They split. They had their authentic self, and then they had their celebrity self.
Like the persona, like, hiya! But then, like, as soon as the camera stops rolling, oh, I can be myself now, I'm tired.
Should probably be the other way around, but...
Yeah. Because I was wondering, what about the whole thing of childhood stars? Because I was thinking earlier, you know, generally, the track record, if you look, isn't good for, like, childhood stars who were, like, young, famous from a young age and then grew up. A lot of them get into problems. So, is it not like... Me and Andy were thinking, it's quite a scary job being like a childhood Hollywood casting director. You're actually thinking, I could be subjecting you to the worst thing of your life. And if the kid doesn't sort of really know what it's getting in for, because you can't really ask a kid who's five, like, would you like to be in the next movie with Tom Hanks? It's not going to really understand, is it? So
it would be nice if the producer or director had that sort of compassion, empathy, and understanding of what they're doing to these children, because that's exactly right. And I interviewed a child star in my study, and what he told me was, he's also extremely well-known, he said that of all the substances he's been addicted to in his life, none has been more powerful than fame.
Oh my God, wow. I can imagine. It's just so, you just need the fix, because you start to get your value from other people, don't you? If you're in a room,
absolutely.
If you're in a room on your own,
it becomes an addiction. It becomes an addiction, you guys.
Because one thing I was thinking is, why did, you know, like, say, if you were famous and stuff, and you couldn't hack it, and you had that kind of, you know, you felt insecure and you felt lonely and everything. What if you moved to like a country where you weren't famous?
Yeah.
I just wondered why people didn't do that more often. Like, say, I don't know, if you're famous just in England, for example, not like a big Hollywood star, and you moved to Germany or something to get away from people, but nobody really seems to do that.
Yeah. So do they subtly love it?
Is it because it's an addiction?
That's another thing I found. I mean, you guys keep hitting all my major points.
Right.
But it's a love-hate relationship with fame. They love what it can give them, the access, the wealth, the membership in the exclusive club. But they also hate the fact that they don't have any privacy and that their life has shrunk and that they don't really trust the outside world. Why do you like me?
Yeah.
Why are you here? Someone said fame is an untrustworthy dance partner. Intrinsically, and so you don't trust anybody who's come to you through that dance.
Yeah.
So it does really alter life considerably. It's quite a lot that you trade for this fame. However, when I asked every single one of the people I interviewed, would you trade fame back?
Yeah.
Not one of them said yes.
Really?
Wow. So there must be something in it. But then, is it like, can you be treated for addicted to fame? Is that a treatable thing?
I think so, yes. That's what I do, is I, you know, I
sort them out.
Celebrity sorts, and yeah,
because
it's really about mindfulness. It's about being able to be in the present moment, to not be in the past or the future, and to really be realistic about what is going on in this present moment. And the better they can be clear about that and not have a story going on about me, me, me.
Yeah.
The better they're able to cope with it, transcend it, and have a somewhat normal life.
That's crazy that none of them would actually want to switch back. Because I thought they might want to go, look, please, I don't like it anymore. I want to turn this off.
Yeah, like a really potent drug you've taken. You think, I've gone too far. It's too powerful, a trip or something. And it's like, I want to stop now. It's like, no, you've crossed over now. You can never get away from this.
None of them really want to give it up, I have to say.
None of them want to give it up. Because I think also, if you think about it physiologically, think of your nerve endings. They get used to something. Mm. So they get used to that level of stimulation. And like any drug, thereafter, anything less than feels less than.
Yeah.
And they're used to just all, you know, I can even tell you, because when I worked for CNN, I was a producer of the lead newscaster, Daniel Shore. He was very famous. Okay. He was one of the Murrow boys, and he was the senior correspondent. Now, wherever we went in the world together, there was a camera, there was Dan, there was me, and there were all these people staring at us all the time, looking, the media.
Wow.
And I felt that feeling of all those eyes looking.
See,
and
eyes.
You guys know this as well, that there's something that feels like, oh, I do exist. You know, any maybe childhood doubt we had, all these people are looking at you like you're special.
I'm special, but may look at me, yeah.
It does, there is a warm feeling about it. Unfortunately, it gets, you know, out of hand. But I think that's the seed of what happens to people.
Yeah. I'm like, say, for example, what, in your opinion, what do you think is the best thing that would, say, someone who is famous or wants fame? I mean, what, would you wish fame upon someone? Or do you think that it's probably more of a curse?
Well, you see, here we get back to it again. I think that if you can approach all of life mindfully and develop a sense of mindfulness, then you can tolerate pretty much anything.
Yeah.
As long as you figure out, how do I approach it, how do I deal with it, and how do I stay close and loving and compassionate to those close to me and to everyone, in fact.
Right, yeah. Cool.
That's great.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
I googled as I was looking to get some help, as into famous people who've maybe not dealt with it well. And you know how it can go to your head, fame, and turn you into a bit of a jerk. I typed into Reddit, and apparently the top three, someone just put, I've heard from other people that Dan Marino, Hulk Hogan, and Michael Jordan are big-time jerks, but they've put, unless you chummy with them. In which case they're fine. But
yeah.
Thank you so much,
yeah,
Donna, for coming
on really
and enlightening us about that.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Wicked.
Enjoy, you guys.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank
Take
you
care.
Much. Goodbye.
Take care.
Thanks
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
catch me drift.
That was Vanity 6 with Nasty Girl. I'm sorry, Donna, that wasn't any reflection on you.
Yeah,
I'm
you're sure a nice girl. lovely woman.
If you're on, you might be a Nasty Girl, but that's none of our
business,
is it? But I'm sure you seem nice.
You seem nice. I'm sorry about the technical difficulty as well. You're welcome back to FUBAR Radio with me, Richard Hardesty, and Andrew Needle.
Yep.
And we've got someone special in here.
Hello, it's Eric Lamplette. How's it going?
His friend, who I didn't get the name of on my piece of paper.
Matthew Hyten!
I'm out, guys. I'm leaving.
Welcome.
Hey, your microphone sounds a bit odd.
Yeah, my microphone sounds odd. What the hell's going on?
You sound distant.
Yeah, he sounds like he's in miles away.
I sound like I'm in a cupboard somewhere else.
Sounds like he's famous now and he's...
Yeah, I've segregated myself.
Yeah.
That was a good chat, by the way. I heard the old fame chat. It made me want to be famous.
Did it?
Yeah, it actually made me even more. I was like, challenge.
I want to be messed up from fame. It's weird. You get that urge. Like,
I'll have a bloated cod next to me.
Yeah, sometimes. I thought bloated cod and a sea of eyes were the two things she used, which was
that's
very,
quite,
very odd.
Aquatic theme to fame, isn't there?
Yeah. Maybe it's because you feel like you're drowning.
Maybe.
Who knows? Welcome, Eric.
Thanks, man.
Dude. Sorry.
Never mention my name from now on.
Yeah, the man with no name.
The Voldemort of comedians.
I'm going to be taking part in Eric's...
Get out of your cupboard.
Listen, Richard. I can't. Can someone get me out of this cupboard, please?
I don't know.
Why does it sound like I... Who put me in this cupboard?
I don't know.
Am I going to have to do it from the cupboard?
Like a ginger man Frank.
Okay, fine. A ginger and Frank in the cupboard then. So Eric has started up a comedian cinema club.
That's right, yeah. It's basically it's an improv show where like all your favourite comedians from all over the UK get together for one night only and we improvise our way through a film. Because normally stand-ups, we just work on our own.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I started the show. We all work on our own and we might end up arriving late to the comedy club or we'll do our first gig and then just leave and not. We don't see each other. We don't hang out.
Mm. So loneliness started this for you then, Eric.
Basically, yeah.
It's what's driving this. Okay. You want some friends, is that what you're saying?
I need friends.
Okay.
Because since the fame, you know, since my whole fame, I don't have real friends and stuff.
No, so same. I'm alienated now. So
yeah.
My 60 followers, they just do my head in.
Yeah, so I thought, okay, do a show where we just sort of bring everyone together. And I love doing, I love movies. So I thought,
okay,
put them two together.
Nice.
You're doing one tomorrow.
I'm taking part in one tomorrow.
What's that one? What's the film?
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh, wow.
Improvised comedy.
Brian Adams does the theme tune, doesn't he?
And I tell you what, I'm not nervous about it. And anyone who says I am is a liar.
Have you watched the film recently?
I actually watched it the other day, just taking in the Will Scarlet bits, really, and ignoring everyone else's bits.
That's all you need to do.
That's it, isn't it?
We don't want any context to any of the characters.
Alright, okay, fine. Okay.
Which is Will Scarlet? Who plays him in the movie?
Christian Slater.
Oh, okay.
Christian Slater.
Oh, right.
So, I'm going to be doing a Christian Slater impression.
Go on, you can do it.
Or Will Scarlet. Well, you know, I'm just trying to sound like Jack Nicholson.
It's more of an eyebrow thing, isn't it?
I know. But yeah, but you can kind of pick up the voice, you know what I'm saying?
That's good, mate. That's
is that
good.
Right? Was yeah, that quite yeah. good?
That's very good.
Wow, Alistair McGowan. Wow. Move over. So if you want more of that, yes.
He's already moved over, hasn't he?
Who has?
He's not been on TV for ages.
No, he did something wrong, didn't he?
Or maybe he has been on TV and you just haven't noticed.
Maybe.
That's how good he is.
Yeah, he's taken over for Richard Madeley.
Wow, yeah, they could just stick him in anywhere, couldn't they?
As soon as he disappeared, you know, Katie Hopkins appeared.
Ooh.
Maybe he's a character comedian after all.
If anyone's had a sick day or if anyone gets ill, exactly. Just bung Alistair in there.
John Snow has a sick day, he's just...
Wow. That would be great. Fucking hell. Sorry, so what other films have you done then with Comedian Cinema Club?
Jaws, E.T., Sixth Sense.
So how,
the Harry Potters in one night.
How do you do Jaws? Like, a thing that is based upon a huge, massive shark. How is this recreated?
The person improvising the shark gets a good deal as well. They don't have to say anything.
Well, I was the shark.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Typecast because of my massive guns. And no, but that's the beauty of the show. We don't prepare anything before it, so I don't necessarily know. Well, you just go with what happens.
Okay.
And there was a jug of water right next to me, and I was like, "Yeah, just splash the audience with water."
Well, it's like Universal Studios.
Yeah.
It was basically
people
that.
Waste thousands to go on that when you get Eric Lampert throwing a jug of water in your face above a pub.
How much is it to get in?
It's only £6, right?
£6. That's
because
good.
If you think about it as a whole night, so the first bit is stand up. So we all do 5 minutes stand up just to show you what kind of flavor of comedy that we are.
Cool.
And then there's a break, and then for an hour we improvise our way through the film, and there's another break, and then we do a podcast where we talk about the themes and movie mistakes. It's like three shows in one.
Three shows in one for £6. Imagine how many £6 you'd have to spend to get into Universal Studios.
Yeah. Are you wearing spandex, Rich?
I mean, even a DVD nowadays is what's that?
£12.
You get a live, one-off performance, a podcast, and some free stand-up.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to listen to podcasts, they're actually on iTunes and SoundCloud.
Nice.
And you can actually watch Sixth Sense on YouTube. We filmed it, and we kept some of the best
bits. You filmed your course. I actually watched that for a bit of research.
In September, now check this out for some bloody comedy.
Come on!
Right? We're doing the movie 7, right? So that's not a problem, but it's 7. And again, same thing, stand-up movie and then podcast. But we're going to live stream it to the world.
Oh my god.
Free.
Kevin Spacey, I actually met Kevin Spacey and I've got his business card.
Right.
It was a very, very odd situation actually. I don't remember meeting him, right? The next day I woke up and I was like, I've got Kevin Spacey's number in my pocket, and I texted him. I was like, is this Kevin Spacey? He went, yeah, what's up, bro? I was like, why have I got your number? I met him in Shoreditch House, had one drink, and then went all woozy and weird, and then just...
He had one drink and he...
So Kevin Spacey drugged you, basically.
I'm not saying that, I'm just saying I met him and I don't remember a damn thing.
And you had a bloody good night.
But I had a bloody good night. Tender the next day, but, you know, hey, that's libelous.
Can we say that? Yeah, I don't know if we can say
it was a joke anyway. It's a big old joke, and it never actually happened. I don't have his number. It
wasn't the actor Kevin Spacey, just a bloke I met at the pub.
It was Alistair McGowan.
The little shit.
That's what he's been doing.
Standing in for Kevin Spacey in nightclubs. I've got a bit of beef.
That's why I brought in Matt, by the way. That's just so you know, that's why I brought in Matt. Matt is my what are you to me?
I don't know. Just
I like that. It's not that direct. What are you to me? Sounds like a couple of an argument. What are you to me?
A question I never thought I'd face today. I'm thinking I need more time to prepare a decent answer. But
we're the cinema club team, I guess.
Okay.
And I'm moving to LA in January, so I'm going to start it over there. And I think Matt will just going to take over.
Wow.
I'm going to run it into the ground.
The UK. Yeah. Week one.
Yeah.
Because I need to. You know, we were chatting about fame earlier with that woman.
Yeah.
Right. Now, you did an advert, which I got down to the last 2-4, which I was actually a bit livid about, which was quite a nifty little adverts. That's where the dollars at, isn't it?
That's where the dollars at.
And you did one with Bruce Willis for Sky, right?
I did.
What was he like?
Right. So okay.
Yes. Exciting.
It's fine. Honest
and don't lie.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he was having a bad day.
Whisper.
He was a bit of a prick.
He's always having a bad
really?
Day.
I've heard.
No, because in my head I was going right. Look, I learned my lines. I was really prepared to do this advert. Yeah. And he arrived and he was driven on set. So during that drive, let's say half an hour or whatever, he could have learned his three lines. Three lines aren't that easy to learn.
Yeah.
Now he turned up and he didn't know his lines. So then behind the camera there was people holding up in massive letters his lines. He didn't even bother looking at them. So he was just improvising.
Can't be bothered to look at the lines.
Now,
Jesus!
He's the laziest man in the world.
So yeah.
But the thing is,
open your eyelids, Bruce. No!
In terms of acting, it was quite fun, because I had to improvise around Bruce Willis. But at the same time, it meant that we wasted so much time that me and Jessica, the girl that was the main girl in we had to stay the next day and do more, because we had to rewrite a script, essentially.
Well, you had to react to his lines.
Essentially, yeah.
Oh my god.
You just got to ask yourself, though, why is Bruce Willis doing an advert for Sky?
Yeah.
It can't be short of cash.
I'm assuming I'm assuming you and Bruce got paid the same for that.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope.
It's only fair. We live in an equal society, right?
I think it's because he was having a kid at the same time. He was around that sort of time, so I thought, make a bit more cash for the kid, right?
Yeah.
And he was also doing Die Hard 5 at the time, so he knew that was going to be
a disaster.
Oh my god, yeah. I heard like some bad stuff from behind the scenes with him on that. It's supposed to be a bit of a naughty one, isn't he?
Naughty one.
Bruce Willis. Just to be a bit of a sod. Like what you're saying basically, but from Kevin.
But I think he was nice. I bet like one on one he's nice, but just I don't know that I felt
it's
like
it's
was,
exactly
felt like
what that
was
woman
no
said before. If you're chummy with him, it's fine, mate.
Yeah. Maybe you'd done like Die Hard as a cinema club, but he'd seen it and thought, right, it's him.
We have done Die Hard as a cinema club.
Well, we did Die Hard / Home Alone. So Die Alone.
Die Alone. Okay. That was the kid's favourite.
It was a Christmas special.
I still think we should have gone with Home Hard.
Oh, Home Hard. That's not something I could present.
Hey, so we're going to go to a song now, but afterwards we're going to read some. What are these text things?
Oh, yeah, yeah. After the break, we're going to be going through with these guys. We've got 9 texts that are apparently irresistible to men. So if you're a woman and you send this text to a man, this bloke is saying that the man will not be able to resist you.
Yeah.
So wait for those, but they're bullshit. Hello there, welcome back to the Audio Vision Quest with me, Rich Hardesty, Andrew Needle.
Me, Andrew Needle, also Eric Lampert and Matt.
Oh, we're not allowed to say
it. Slowly letting his name.
We're not allowed to say it.
Just word by word.
Matt, we'll get Matthew later.
Nope.
Sorry, I'm still in a box apparently, by the sounds of this, but that's fine.
No, it sounds like you're a little bit out.
Yeah, you're sort of half out, you're sort of coming out of the closet.
I'm slightly
The doors are open, but you're still in there. Hello,
hello, just a little head poking out.
Cautiously peeping out.
Yeah. So we've been chatting about fame, and Eric just came up with something quite interesting during the break. We're chatting about, you've been working on a film, Moonwalkers.
Yeah, so
is that a sequel
I did
to
a, No, it's not the sequel to the Michael Jackson one, unfortunately. Okay. It's about the moon landing being potentially faked, and it's with Ron Perlman and Rupert Grint and stuff.
Wow.
And so Rupert plays sort of a band manager, and I am the lead singer of the band.
Of course.
So I actually worked quite closely with him. And for 3 weeks, we sort of lived in Belgium, basically. We lived in Brussels. And just the... Like, there was always people just outside of the hotel, just lurking, just waiting for the picture, the precious picture with the Rupert.
Oh, my God.
That was a good impression.
And he was constantly, wherever we went, constantly harassed. And, no, harassed is the wrong word. Everyone's incredibly lovely.
Lovingly harassed.
Incredibly lovely. But it was every minute, everywhere we went, there was another picture.
Oh, God.
And obviously, like, sometimes they asked me, but out of pity.
Were you like, yes!
No, it's me. Although, at one moment, we were in a shop, and they were like, oh, excuse me, with the camera ready. And I was like, yes, I'll take the picture, because it was always me taking the picture.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, you're the guy that did Soho Theatre, right? And I was like, yes, it's me! Fuck you, Rupert!
Yeah, you lose. Watch it.
My picture.
Yeah, I'll get the good angle. That's the best angle. There we go.
But what was amazing is that how patient he was. He was incredibly lovely with everyone. And that's kind of what you need to do.
You've got to be 3 weeks for you, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that was just with you referring to. Yeah.
He was relieved when a fan came up.
Oh, save me.
He paid that fan to come up and ask for that picture because you were doing his edit. What's Eric been in? Google Soho Theatre. I don't know what.
Just say Soho Theatre and point this at him, it'll be fine.
Yeah, no, it's me, you're right, it's me. So, and it was just amazing, like, the psychologist that you're talking to, she's absolutely right, that these fans are your boss, they're the ones that are going to pay for the ticket and stuff like that. And just he handled it incredibly professionally. He was just like, hello, picture. And it was kind of sad because all they wanted was his picture. No one asked, like, how are you?
Yeah, oh my
they
God.
They just went, I want your picture, see you later.
It must feel so berserk.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Just kidding.
Are you joking?
It's a very strange feeling. Like, we went out a couple of times to a pub or whatever to drink, and we always had to go, like, somewhere incredibly quiet. And even then, like, I mean, the guy is famous.
I mean, yeah.
You know, there's famous.
He's got big ginger hair.
But it's not just that. There's famous, like, where people are famous. And then there's world famous. He is Harry, like, Harry Potter. It's like translated in the most languages, I think.
There's no country you could go to escape from that.
No country.
There's no in every country.
Lesotho, maybe Lesotho.
It's like Mr. Bean, Rowan Atkinson, because it's like, it transcends language, doesn't it? So
yeah,
it's
Mr.
like
Bean
huge
is...
in Africa and stuff like that. So it's like, where can he go? Literally, like, oh my God. Poor old Rowan Atkinson. So that's fame. Nailed there. So yeah, basically.
So that's Moonwalkers. That's the film that we should look out for.
Yeah, Moonwalkers, I think it comes out in September in America, but I don't know the UK.
But no one turns into a car.
No one turns into a car, right.
But it still sounds good.
No one touches anyone else inappropriately.
Okay.
I did touch people inappropriately.
Okay, fine.
Whether the camera was on me at the time, whether it was in the script, I don't know.
I don't know. You just do that.
I just have to do that.
Can you get off me, please?
Oh,
thank you.
Get out of the cupboard.
I'm going to touch my Eric Lamy. So basically, yeah, we got sent this. Hey, what should we talk about, Andy? Should we go into these ridiculous texts?
Yeah, sure.
So I got sent this thing the other day. Basically, some text that apparently. If you're a woman and you send this to a man, he will not be able to resist you. My guess is this is for
heterosexual relationships.
Yeah, apparently, if you're a woman and you want to snare a man or whatever,
But the thing is, no offence, men are stupid. If you're a woman and you want to snare a man, just ask.
Yes.
Like, look at this, please.
Look at this. This one says, this is number two. Okay. When he asks you what you're up to, say, just taking a bath, ... Gonna head out later. Well, just say, just taking a bath, ... Come on over and get into it. That's going to work
more. No, that's too much.
Is it?
No, you see, I quite like
too
that
forward.
One. Because I'm taking a bath suggests, like, okay, she's naked.
Yeah,
she's,
right?
She's into hygiene.
You're thinking about her naked. And then she's going, I'm heading out later, so maybe you could join me, right?
Oh,
so it's still like, she's still insinuating that you can join her, but she's not going, I'm a slut, come in the bath now.
Okay.
We don't want a slut. We want someone that's sort of a slut, but not fully slut.
Okay, so, but why didn't you...
Dr. Lamper.
Yeah, that's a proper... Are you a psychologist? Sex psychologist?
No, but I have mental health issues, so I'm, like, on the other side.
Okay, fine. You understand it on a personal level.
I learn by being.
Okay, fine. You know? That's the best way. But, like, she sounded like just taking a bath. I'm going to head out later. That makes me think, oh, she's busy now, and then she's busy later on, so forget it.
Makes me think, didn't she own a shower?
Yeah.
She's wasting time there.
Lazy. You got time to lay about in a bath. No way. What about this?
You see, what I would like is I'm laying in the bath, I'm reading a book, and I'm heading out later. Because then it's like, yes, plus intelligence.
She's reading a book?
Yeah, she's reading a book.
You want to get down the library?
Those waterproof, chewy ones. You know those little ones, the kids' ones you get in the bath?
Blow-up ones, like inflatable books.
They've got 6 pages max.
Yeah, little plastic ones that you blow up. They're like a tiny little deflated bouncy castle.
And I'll tell you what, with this text, you also know that she's dangerous because the phone would be beyond economical repair if it gets wet.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Just a tiny bit of water.
She's maverick.
And she's maverick. We're learning so much from this one woman.
Or is she irresponsible?
I've done that as well. I messed up my phone playing Jurassic Park Builder in the buff.
Really?
Yeah, I dropped it.
If she
said it for 30 seconds, I couldn't get it.
Imagine you'd put like just busy in the bath playing Jurassic Park Builder.
Well, then you'd be in. Oh my god!
Be even better if you found out it wasn't an app. Yeah,
who is she? Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like,
we can find out.
Let's have a look. Some other ones. Here we go. But this stuff like this, like as hot as you are, I don't move that fast. Wink. But I'd be happy to see your pretty face if you want to take me on a date sometime this week. Too late. No. I'm not going to...
I don't understand that one.
No, it's not explained properly.
As hot as you are, I don't move that fast. I mean, maybe she's like into like particle physics. So like, you know, heat creates sort of kinetic energy. Kinetic energy moves at a certain speed. I mean, through space-time, we're all really travelling at the speed of light.
How fast are we travelling right now, Eric?
30 kilometres a second on planet Earth.
Wow, I feel like I haven't moved.
Wow.
Yeah, you feel like you haven't moved, but actually we're always moving, guys. Always moving.
So we're not
literally.
I'm
always jigging about there, literally.
Yeah, it's like a fly.
Like a fly. And he said, I think the last one, check out the last one. This is the one that is ridiculous. Hang on a sec. This one. I'm not sure. Yeah, here we go. I'm not sure we can be friends anymore. I just think, what have I done? I think that's supposed to be.
No, she means like, you know.
What?
We can move into the Denver the Dinosaur territory.
Yeah, you see, you have anxiety, so you're not even letting her finish the sentence. You know, I'm not friends with you.
What have I done? I didn't mean to. How did you find out?
What have you done? No, but what is it? Because it's just dot, dot, dot.
I'm not sure we can be friends anymore.
No, that is too subtle.
Because that is subtle, isn't it?
I'm not sure we can be friends anymore, and then smiley winky face, or I'm not sure we can be friends anymore, if you know what I mean. It's like, I'm not sure we can be friends anymore.
That makes me think, oh no.
Oh yeah, no, this is, you know what? Just ladies, if you want to win a man, you don't need a man to win at life. You can just be yourself, and maybe if the man wants you, he'll approach you with respect.
That is a long text message.
If you fit the right demographic for him, he will. Yeah,
this is what I don't like. This jacket will look hot on you. Then send a picture of the jacket, which will look hot on you.
That's risky.
I hate it.
Why have they got another man's jacket?
Yeah, well, just like just, yeah.
Yeah,
how
do
they know my size?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, have you been stalking me? Yeah. This is weird.
All they want to send is, do you want to come over? I've got a sandwich in Mario Kart, and I'm in.
You're in.
So nice.
Because you're a real bloke. You're a real man. You're a man's man.
Sandwiches.
This is weird. I just had the most life-changing burger. Almost sexual.
That would really put me off.
What's sexual about a burger? Like a hot dog? It looks a bit like a penis. But like... A beef burger.
It's like a penis.
A little bit. It's got a similar shape.
But why do you want
the big
that?
Ones? The big ones. You know, I don't mean the little ones. Yeah, the ones you get at child parties.
Wait, we'd have to wrap it up.
Oh, we're going to have to wrap it up. Right, well, listen. That has been somewhat chaotic. We've had Donna Rockwell all the way from America. We've had Adam. No, we haven't. We've had Kevin all the way from America.
Anyway, it's
Eric
time for
Lampert.
Song now. Goodbye.
Time for song.
Goodbye.
Bye. Love you. Bye. Comedian Cinema Club.
See, I smile, and then I reconcile.